what I wanted to do was to do a review of Kalim, and to do it by giving basically a concept for each one of the Prokim, but I'd actually like to go through, if you don't mind, go through the Mishnayos with you. And that would give us a more actual review instead of just going through the general concepts. We'll see if we can do it quickly enough, so then it'll be worth it. If not, I'll just go to the quicker idea. Just put on a timer here. Okay, so our first perek is called Avot HaTumah. And what Avot HaTumah discusses is the various Aveis HaTumah and their dargas. And then we have 10, or we point out it's really 11, but okay, dargas in Tumah that's Yotze Migufo. And once we add these 10, we spoke about the Eser Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael, which have different dinim in terms of what would be Osir. So first we went through the Aveis HaTumah, which is Sheret, Shechvat Zera, Tamei Meis, Amitzera. We're talking about things now that are only Mitame in Maga. So a Mitzera during the Yemei Sforo, not during the Yemei Chiluto. And Mechatas, where there's not enough Mechatas to do an actual Hazoya, all of those things would be Mitame, and they're only Mitame b'Maga. They are not Mitame b'Masa. So they would be Mitame Odom v'Kelim b'Maga, and they would be Mitame in Aklicheres b'Aviro, but they would not be Mitame b'Masa. And then we go up to the next Madrega, and the next Madrega is Tuma b'Masa. So that would include an Avela, that would include Mechatas that does have sufficient to do Hazoya, and if they have Yesh Bem Kidei Hazaya, they would be Metame and Adam B'Masa, Letame Begodim, and then he can actually be Metame Begodim when he's in touch with them, Bechiburim. And if you want to save your Begodim, Chasuchei Begodim, if you're not carrying them, then you're spared from being Metame B'Maga, only B'Masa. Then we go up another level. Lamala mihem are things that are able to be metame in more than just giving you tuma b'maga or b'masa, but a bayal nida, someone who is a bayal nida, is metame mishkaf tachton ke'elyon, so that even though he doesn't come in touch with it, nonetheless, it would be tame, but it would only be tame like the Elyon or Shel Zov. So it's not metame like an avatuma, it's metame like a rishon betuma. Okay, there's only one member of this set. The next set beyond this would be actual things that are metame as Aveis HaTumah, and that would be the Zov of a Zov, or any of the Mayonais, which includes Rok, Shechvat Zera, Meimei Raglov, that's considered to be Mayanot. The Dam of Anida is Metame like a Mayan, and these things are Metame either B'Maga or B'Masa as an Avatuma. More chomer than that, the next step is Merkav. Merkav, remember we had a Machloket, whether there's a difference between something that is you're being Rochev on, or whether Merkav is a limitation, like things that you're not actually sitting on, but you're holding on to, let's say like that part of the saddle that sticks up and so on, that's called Merkab without actually sitting on that. Now that's Metame, even Be'evan Misama. So that means even if you, remember we had Big Machlokes in Rashi, it is about this, what exactly is Evan Misama, we spoke about in Shabbos, but let's assume like Rashi, we're talking about a very heavy object in which the weight is such that the Masa is negligible, the additional Masa, and nonetheless, they are Metame. If a Tame person sits, Tamei Bezivas, he sits on top of that rock, then whatever is underneath it becomes Tamei, and if a Torah person sits on the rock, he becomes Tamei, as long as it's still on top of the Merkav. Above and beyond that is Mishkav, and over there, the din over there is that the Maga and the Masa is exactly the same, and you are going to be Metamei Begodim. And Mashen came by Merkav, you are not going to be Betamei Begodim, and that's a big difference. Over here, by a Mishkav, even somebody who's touching the Mishkav, is as long as he's Bechiburin, he's going to be Metamei Begodim at the same time. And above that is an actual, besides the Mishkav, a Mishkav can't make a Mishkav, but a Zov is higher than Mishkav, because a Zov can actually make a Mishkav, and a Mishkav cannot make a Mishkav. And then we've got a actual new din is a zova, because a zova can be metame somebody who sleeps with her, but a zov cannot give tuma to somebody with whom he sleeps. So therefore, the zova is more chomor than the zov. Beyond that is a new tuma, which is called tumas bia, not intercourse, but entering into a house, and that would be a mitzora. A mitzvah is metame bibia, which sort of has things that are similar to tumas oel, except that the person has to actually be there, bikvias, and so on. And above a mitzvah, we have something that's even more chomer. And that is that the other things we're talking about over here would not be metame something else to be tame for shivas yomim. But let's say an etzem of a mace, which is the size of a sa'ira. So if somebody or some kli touches it, it's going to be metame shivas yomim, and therefore it's going to be more chomer. And the most chomer of all, of course, is the actual mate, which is metame in an ohel. Masha ein kein, none of the other things that we said before, nothing else is metame mamish ba'ohel. Then we've got a list of 10 tumas that are yotzim migufa. So they're called porsot bin adam in our, porsot bin adam in our perek. So what are the levels? These are 10 different levels, all talking about tumas that came out of your body. So let's say you're a mechusar kippurim, so a zav, a mitzvah, yoledes. And all of these who actually went already to the mikveh, they waited the amount of time, they haven't brought the carbon v'yom hashmini, so they have a very low level of tumah, which asers them from eating kachim, but they're allowed to eat trumas and mice. The second level is that if that same person would now become a tful yom, let's say he was roya keri, and he went to the mikveh, so now he's aser even in truma, not only b'kodesh, but he's still mutter in Meiser. Now, suppose he becomes a Balkari again, and he doesn't go to the mikveh. Now, he's not allowed to eat anything. Not even allowed to eat Meiser Sheni. Now, he figures, why not go all the way, and he becomes a Bayal Nida. So then, now he's Metami Mishkev Tachton Keolion, as we said. The fifth darga was, then he becomes a Zov, who was Roesh Shtei Re'yos. So Shtei Re'yos is not enough to be Mechayev you, a Korban, but it is Mechayev you to be Tumas Azov, and you require the Shivas Yomim, your Matami Mishkav Umoshav, you're going to need Mayim Chayim, you can't just go to a regular mikvah, but you're still Potter Min HaKorban. Then the same guy is Roya, another Re'yazov, now he has to also bring a Korban besides that. Then he becomes a Mitzera, who's only Muzgar. And he hasn't yet become mukhlat. So then he would be metame by coming into a house where somebody is. And he still would be potter from priya and prima. He doesn't have to let his hair grow. He doesn't have to tear his begadim. He doesn't have to do the shave and bringing the tziporim yet. But once he's now seen by the kohen being mukhlat, he gets simanei tuma. So once he's mukhlat, then he gets to number level number 8. And then he has to also do Tiglachas et Tziporin and Priya v'Prima. Okay, so now we've got another darga, which is number 9. And this guy, boy, he's really getting going from bad to worse. Now one of his Eivorim is cut off. So now that Eivor would be Metami b'Mago Mamasa, like a mate, but an Eivor of Achai is not Metami in an Ohel. And then if that Eivor, however, had enough Basar on it, that it would be able to reconstruct itself if it were connected. So then it would be metame b'maga and b'masa and b'ohel, and what defines that amount of basar? Enough that if it would have been attached still to his body, it could have healed and regrown. Rabbi Yehuda says, the way to know that is if there's enough actual basar on the aver that it could be, and this is actually done surgically, that if you take a little bit of this basar and you actually cut it in a way that you can go all around the limb with enough basar that would be makif the entire limb, the size of a chuta erev, that's considered to be yesh bo lahalos arucha, and that would be also be metami be'oya. And now the next level, next issue that we had in this perek is the Eser Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael. And that is, first of all, there's Eretz Yisrael itself, which is Mekudesh from any place else. And that's because you could bring Omer, Bikurim, Shtei Alechem, and you can't do that from anything else. Next level is the Ir Mukefes Choma, which is more Chomer than Stam Eretz Yisrael because you are not allowed to come in as Ben Mitzaras. And also, you're only allowed to find a place to be kaver a mace in there if the tuvei ha'ir are maskim. Once you take a mace out, you're not allowed to bring it back into an ir mukefet choma. The next level is the wall around Yerushalayim. So inside that wall, what's its kedusha? You could eat kachim kalim and meiser sheni. The harabayit is more chomer than that. And what's the chomer of that? That zovin, zovas, nidas, yoldas are able to come into Yerushalayim, but they're not able to come into the harabayit at all. The chel within the harabayit is more chomer, this is the rabbanan, because goyim and a tamei mace is not allowed to go beyond the chel. The ezras nashim is even more chomer than the chel, because the tful yom is not allowed to go there. Again, the rabbanan, this was a special gezeirah that they made later, and that's even though he's allowed to come to the chel, but you're not chayav achatas because these were the special takranas that were done later. Masha'in came once you get into the actual Azor, the Ezras Yisrael, so then you would be chayav mamish koras. Ezras Yisrael is more makudish than the Ezras Nashim because the Mechutzer Kippurim is not allowed to go there, and he is allowed to go into the Ezras Nashim. And actually, if you went in there, Betuma, you would be chayav achatas because it's a Isser Koras. And then the Ezras Kayanim, which is after the first 11 Amos, is even more chomer because we don't allow Yisraelim to go there stam. They're only allowed to go in for a special need. Let's say they need to do smich on a carbon that was nishchat betzofen, or they have to do tenufa, which requires them to be present. And then you get to Beinu Olam v'Lamizbeach, and that's more chomer than the Ezras Kayanim, because a Balmum and a Purei Rosh, who hasn't taken care of his hair, is not allowed to go into that area where he is allowed to go into the Ezra's Kohenim. Then you get up to the Heichal. The Heichal is even more Mekudesh, because if you don't have a Rechitzas Yadayim V'Raglayim, you're not allowed to go into that area. Then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is even more Mekudesh than that, because only a Kohen Gadol, B'Yom HaKippurim, B'Shas HaAveda, only such a person is allowed to go in there. And Rabbi Yossi says there's actually five things where Beinu Olam V'Lamizbeach does have the same level of Kedusha as the Heichal, and that is Balmum, Purei Rosh, Shtuya Yayin, Shlo Rochitz Yadayim V'Raglayim. The halacha is that none of them, according to Rabbi Yossi, are allowed to go into that area, and also you have to get out of that area when they're bringing the keteris. And that's a machlokas, whether this is the keteris that's brought every day, or even if the keteris is being brought on Yom Kippurim, do you have to, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you have to leave the Heichal, do you also have to leave the area of the Bein Olam V'Lamizbeach? Okay, the second parak is called Kli Eitz. So Kli Eitz, this parak is about the dinim of the various types of kelim, and it also talks about the shiurim of a klicheres, and it talks about the difference between pshute klicheres, mekablim klicheres, and broken klicheres, which was called the gistera. And I see it's taken me too long to do the full review, so maybe we'll just do the minute review of each parak. I thought I could do it in 3 minutes, but it took the whole time. We'll never finish at this rate. I don't know if you want to take off a whole month.
We will in two weeks.
Well, if you've got the patience to stick out for one more, then fine. But this will be the sign. Are we talking about, you know, Elisha Balak Nafayim over here who's ready to be Meisen Nefesh? Or are we just gentlemen soldiers, you know, sitting in our armchairs? If you're ready to go for it, I'm ready to go for it.
Perek Bayom, Rebbe.
Perek Bayom is 30 days just for a review. Come on. That's a little bit
too much. Worth it. We're ready to wing it. Worth it.
Nobody else seems to agree with you. I've only got one more thumb up here. Two more thumbs. Three more thumbs up. Well, that's not quite a majority, to say the least. I got a lot of thumbs down. Even Gavi's only smiling, but he's not going to give me a... Oh, we actually did get a thumb. Okay, four. All right, what about Doc? Doc, those patients are all waiting. Akiva gave me two thumbs up. That's five, six. Because he said, there we go. Okay, now we got three BBs. How come Shmuel is not giving me a thumb? Okay. All right, so let's do it. So, first of all, over here, let's go through the kalim. So we have wood, we have leather, we have bone, we have glass. They all share one thing, and that is if they don't have a base kibble and they're pshutim, are tar. Only with a base kibble are they tummy. And the other thing is that they also share something else, which is if they broke and became tar, They do not regain their tuma just because you built them back up again. They can become tame from this point forwards, but they do not share the din with a klimatechet of chozum l'tumatam hayishana. Kalim that are made out of earthenware, or even if they're made out of neter, which is an alum, so there's four special halachas about them. First of all, they become tame and they give off tame even through their airspace without any real contact. Furthermore, if you turn them upside down and there's a base kibbo, it has a base on the bottom that has a base kibbo, they will become tame from that also. Furthermore, they don't become tame by touching the outside, only by touching the inside, which is unique. And furthermore, you can't make them tar by putting them in a mikveh. The only thing you can do is bust them. Now, the question is, busted pieces, how small can they be if they're still usable to still maintain their tuma? So that those are called dak, either the smallest types of klicheres, or the broken off bottoms or broken off sides. As long as they can sit without needing additional support, then as long as they can keep enough oil, this we had back in Shabbos, was the shear of Hotzah also, enough to be able to have the smallest amount of oil for the smallest limb of an infant, that would be considered to be a kli. This is true up to the shear of a kli that was originally a lug. If it was from the size of a lug up to a saw, which is 24 lug, then it would need to hold a whole revius. If it's more than 24 lug up to two, then it needs to be able to hold much more. It needs to need a whole look. So says Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't make that difference. It doesn't go according to the original in that way. I say small things made out of cheras, and the same thing what you said, the broken pieces and so on. This year is, like you say, b'chdei sichat katan. Now, as far as what the pot is, I don't actually measure. I'm talking about the type of pot. So these are all true for small pots. Now, if you're talking about something that's already the size of a barrel, a ludi barrel, so then it has to be able to hold a revias from the size of a ludi barrel, which again is not a particular, it's a type of the container, up to the size of a beis lechem barrel. It has to be able to hold a half lug from beis lechem until those really big things that they use, like on ships and so on. So over there, it needs to be able to hold a whole lug. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, the big, gigantic pieces that broke, and you've got, and that's they have to be two lug, and not just one lug, like Rabbi Akiva said. Furthermore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai also argues about the Pachim Galileim and the Chavionot. So over there you've got these very small kind of things. He says the shear of the broken pieces is anything. You don't need enough of the oil for the cotton, like we said that, like Rabbi Shmuel said, Rabbi Akiva said. But they don't have any din of tuma on their walls because they're curved. And if they're curved, then they're too small. They have to be laying flat on the ground. Okay. Then continues the Mishnah to tell us what things would be tar. Now, up until now, we talk about what would be tame. What's tar klicheres? If it doesn't have a rim around it, it's just flat. If you have a shovel, that's just a flat shovel, doesn't have a side. If it's a pipe that gets water through it, even though it's bent in the middle, it could hold a little bit of water in it, but that's not what it's for. A kav-kav, which is like a top, a tfi, which is the top. Also, it's covering grapes with. They are not called containers because even though they could contain, if you turn them upside down, that's not what they're made for. Flotation devices are not considered to be mekabel tuma because obviously they have to be sealed in order to maintain their air. And therefore, even though, yes, you could open it and put something in it, air is not considered to be something that it's holding. And the same thing would be true of something a small place to put your hand in on the bottom of a heavy kind of container that is used to pick it up. That's not called a base kibbo. And a bed, a chair, a bench, a table, even though people put things on top of them, they're flat, they're not mekabel tuma. A boat is not mekabel tuma, even though it is a base kibbo. And that's because we learned in the Gemara and in the Mishnah and Shabbos that anything that's in the yam is not mekabel tuma. A menorah of cheres, which is used to hold the oil lamps, but it itself doesn't have a base kibbo. All of those things are considered to be tahar. Now remember that there's a gzeira de rabbanan that even mashkin can make Tuma, because of the fact that people get confused with Mayonis Azov, the Kalal is that anything that doesn't have an inside, it doesn't have an outside. And because of that, it does not have the din of Tuma when it's touched by Mashkin. Some learn this means just the opposite, that wherever you touch it, it will be considered. Okay, now there's specific things we talked about. One was the panas, which is a lantern that's got an area in it for holding oil. Then it's tame. If it doesn't have it, it's just like a lantern, and you put the lamp in it, then it's not going to be mekabel tuma. A pottery wheel that is used for the beginning, and that's flat. It doesn't have to support a side, a star. The pottery wheel that's used for forming something after it's already got an edge, so it's got a little edge to it, is considered to be tame. Now, what about a funnel? A mashpech is tar, but a rochel's mashpech is used also to measure. So he uses his thumb, he covers it up, he fills it up to a certain height, and that's considered to be 1 quart. So because of that, it's meant to be actually a kli. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera. Rabbi Akiva says it is not considered to be a container. The reason why it's considered to be a container is not because you put your thumb on it and you measure with it. It's because what these people would do is they would put a little bit of perfume in it, keep it on its side so it would have just enough perfume to allow a buyer to smell. And that is, in fact, a container. Yes, coverings that were meant for yayin or for shemen, or even tall ones that are used on certain types of chaviot niyarot. Those are all called tahorim because they're meant to be used facing down and not used facing up. So if you did some, you set them aside, then they're yard in a tumah b'machshava. So then they become tummy if you set them aside to be used as a container. If you've got a stew pot cover, if it's got a hole in it, and it has, or it's got a handle on it, that prevents it from sitting, so when you put it on its top, it falls, so then it's tar. But if it's not, doesn't have a hole, and it doesn't have anything that sticks out, so you can lie it down, then it's tame, because women will often take the veggies that they just boiled up and pour it out into that. And Rebbe Lezer Berb Tzadik says that's not why. It's considered to be a kli kibo because they are used for smashing the vegetables that were just stewed in it. And that gives them a din of a kli with a base kibo. And a gistra that is still inside of the original kiln, which means you never finish baking the actual kli, that's never going to become tar. That's tar. If the kli broke in the kiln after it was finished, then the gistra could be tummy, but not the other way around. And a titrus, which is the holes, is something we talked about this recently in Shabbos, where we were talking about something you hold for letting starch out on the ironing, is same kind of thing. And Rabbi Elizabeth Tzedek says, look, that doesn't hold water. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it does, because it only lets water come out little bits at a time, prutot. And as long as you keep it covered with your finger, and even when you take off your finger, it still is not going to gush out. So that is considered to be a beit kibul. So says Rabbi Yossi. Continuing on, there are now things that will be similar to these, but they're tame. So let's say you have a tray, but it's got a little rim around it. Or you've got a shovel that's got a side to the shovel. Or you have a tray that is filled, let's say, like a cookie, a cupcake holder. So then you've got a lot of separate bowls in one big bowl. So the din is, if one of them becomes tame, only that one is tame. But if it's got a rim that goes over all of them, it makes them one. And then one of them becomes tame, they all become tame. The same thing is true about containers for spices, where you've got a lot of different spices. You've got a box that's there in sections, or you've got a kalmarin for a sofer who's got, he keeps the ink in one, and he keeps his quills in another one, and he keeps his parchments in another one. If it's got something that goes all around it, so then the whole thing becomes tame. Same thing is true for a spice box. If one of the areas becomes tame, the next one was not tame. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, what about the wall between the different compartments? So over there, we split the wall. The part that's next to the one that's tame is tame. The one that's b'sham shaltar is tar. But if it's got a rim that goes around the whole thing, then even if one became tame, then the entire thing is tame because we see the entire thing being one thing. Now, we said before that they have to stand on their own. Not everything has to stand on its own. How about a torch? A torch you walk by and you stick it into a little bracket that's on the wall, which means it's meant not to stand on its own. And therefore, it is considered to be a kli cheres. And when you've got a masrek of a tzartzur, remember, that's where you have an area that's little broken pieces sticking around the outside on the strainer, and therefore you can't possibly hold anything in it. Rebbe Eliezer says, well, so that area is tar, because it does not consider to be a toch. The chachomim are metame it. If the, let's say, a sheretz gets into that area, they say the whole thing becomes tome, because it also serves as a strainer kind of thing.